Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 272, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry have ready access unto thee. And when in distress to thee I fly, O hide not thou thy face from me. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 272.
Portion of scripture to be read this afternoon can be found in the book of Hosea, and there are the second chapter. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hosea 2. Say ye unto your brethren, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruhama. Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts. Lest I strip her naked, and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers, that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she hath said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Baalim, wherein she burned incense to them. And she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers, and forgat me, saith the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, and bring her into the wilderness, and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Baali. For I will take away the names of Baalim out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and I will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord. I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we once again try to draw nigh unto Thee. Wilt Thou give us the spirit of prayer and supplication, which we do not have from our own sight? Thou hast created us in Thy image, and we have fallen away so deeply that there is not even any more a desire, a looking out after Thee. But it is necessary that Thou wilt come out after us. And so Thy word does come unto us because Thou hast given it. And Thou hast brought us under the field of labors within Thy church. And Thou dost go after Thy lost sheep. That is a wonder that Thy church will glorify Thee forever. But Thou knowest the heart of each and every one. For Thou knowest that there are those that do despair of life, that have come up so many years to Thy house, and they have gone again, and it has always been for others. Their heart that has never been touched by that great power of Thy Holy Spirit. And in an outward way, then there is a concern. Lord, that Thou may give that concern to be wrought by Thy Spirit, and that there may be truly a sigh to sigh and a cry to cry. For Thou hearest the needy when they cry, and dost save their souls when death draws nigh. But then it is necessary that we come to an end of all our own hope and expectation. O Lord, that Thou may work with might and power among us, both young and old, we go each one of us to our long home. The callings, they come unto us week after week. Our hearts, they are by nature harder than a nether millstone, so that there is nothing that does touch us and break us and melt us. Then we feel how powerful a work is necessary. As our fathers have said it, that it is not by a moral suasion that a man cannot be convinced in his mind alone, but it is necessary that there be a supernatural work, most powerful, but at the same time, most delightful. O Lord, that we together, young and old, may cry to Thee for it, because the time is short, and we know not the day of our death, or that Thou may remember those that mourn, and those that must stand in this coming week by an open grave to mourn for a beloved son, husband, and father. Lord, that Thou may uphold them in Thy mercy in these awful circumstances, and that thou may remember all in this world that do despair of hope. O Lord, that thou may draw to thyself. Satan would have each of us to bring ourselves to him. O Lord, thou dost say in thy word, when thy people did say that there is no more any hope, thou did say that my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways thy ways, saith the Lord. And then it can be so, so hopeless from our side. But then there is hope on thy side. But it needs to be shown unto a man. O Lord, that thou may open it. Hast thou not given unto us thy holy word? And wilt thou bring it also with light and understanding into the hearts of those that cry? And may thou remember all those that are in the need of the mind, for they are difficulties that we cannot enter into. Oh, that thou may have mercy upon them, and that thou may lead them, O Lord, unto thyself. And all those that have difficulties of the body, wilt thou thyself strengthen and uphold. All this misery, all these sorrows, and they are come upon us because of our own sin. And Lord, then we stand in our guilt and in our filth this day in thy holy house of prayer. Who can approach unto thee because thou art a holy and a righteous God? And thou hast not yet dealt with us according to our many, many sins. Oh, that thou may wash us, O Lord, and that thou may cleanse us in that precious and all-atoning blood of thy dear Son. One drop applied unto our hearts, that is sufficient to take away all our sins and to make us spotless and white before thee, to be presented unto thy dear Son as thy as his spotless bride, in whom there is thou seest no iniquity. Oh, that thou may give us eyes to behold that beauty, and that we may receive hearts to seek after the application of it for ourselves, both young and old. And wilt thou remember our children and our youth? Oh, that thou may remember them in the days of their youth. Wilt thou stop us each one in our mad career and give that drawing of thy Holy Spirit that is irresistible and that is stronger than the drawings of the devil and of the world and of sin, so that a man, he is ready in that moment to say, I will go. Lord, that thou may remember all those that bring thy word. Increase their number here below, both on the mission fields and the established churches. And wilt thou give that thy kingdom may come, that thy will may be done, and that we who have known that truth with our minds our whole life, would not go lost, while others are brought in. Wilt thou teach us the seriousness of our life? Wilt thou look upon all those that are in need in the seeking of thy truth, under persecutions, or that thou may uphold and strengthen them also in their way, those that lie in the prisons for thy name's sake, and thou hast said it shall be. They have to experience it in a literal way, or that thou may help them. And may thou teach us also that our benefits and all our blessings are not to be taken for granted. Remember the nations in which we live, and wilt thou bring us back to thy word and to thy testimonies, and wilt thou turn us again while it is still called today. Do supply for us in this hour when we are gathered round thy word of truth. Help us in body and mind to bring that word. Give us clarity. Give us discretion. Give us wisdom. Give us the unction and a renewal of the anointing of thy Holy Spirit. And that there may be also ears that are opened by thee, and hearts that are open to attend unto the things that are spoken. Bless us, O Lord, undeservedly for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 117 all the stanzas, as pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. I thirst for thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come thy gracious face to see? 1-4 of Psalter 117, and the last collection today is for Bethesda. Thank you. Rebekah arose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the well, the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. What congregation was Isaac doing? And we heard that he was meditating in the field. We heard that he was praying, but he was also doing something else. We also read here that he was looking. We read he lifted up his eyes. How many times has not Isaac in that time, and especially as that time that has drawn closer in his expectations, then how many times has Isaac not lifted up his eyes, that he has scanned over the horizon, that he may see? Do you pray? Do you meditate? But do you also look? Do you also lift up your eyes in longing expectation that you may receive also that blessing that you are asking the Lord for? How long have you been praying? How long have you been waiting? How long have you been lifting up your eyes? Isaac was not put to shame when he went out day after day to bow himself there in that field. And then one day, when he is looking, and when he has lifted up his eyes, then he sees something. Behold, behold, that which I have been waiting for, that which I have been looking for, behold, the camels are coming. There is coming a day that everyone that is praying, that everyone that is waiting, that is everyone that is lifting up his eyes, there is coming a day, and that they are also going to behold. That is now the promise of the Lord himself. But there is someone else waiting. Who is that? Do you know what the Lord Jesus said? He was praying to his Father. He said, Father, I will that them also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Thus he is praying that his church may be brought in. And he is not only praying, but he is also looking. He is also watching. We read in the Word of God, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. What a day that is for him. And when he may see the camels coming. But it is also so in this life, when they may draw near to him by a way of true saving faith. That we wish to consider further in this hour. In the words of our text, the last verse, of Genesis chapter 24. Genesis 24, verse 67. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and she took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So far the words of our text. Rebekah becomes the wife of Isaac. First, a great natural blessing. Second, the greater spiritual blessing. Rebekah becomes the wife of Isaac. First, a great natural blessing. And second, the greater spiritual blessing. What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? That is the question of Rebekah. That is a question unto the servant of Isaac, unto Eliezer. She sees a man. He is walking toward that caravan of camels, walking toward them in that field. She has heard much about this man. She has received gifts from that man. But she does not know who this man is, and thus she cannot recognize him, and thus she has questions about him. Then it is not all solved immediately in the life of that seeking people. It is my master, Eliezer says. What a joy. Oh, think that what that was for Eliezer, when now he may bring Rebekah, and she may receive from Isaac this invitation. He has received this command from Isaac, from Abraham. What a joy that was for Eliezer, when he may say unto Rebekah upon her own question, "Who is this?" That she may say, "It is my master." O congregation, what a joy that is for God's true servants. When that people, they may be praying. When that people may be looking. When that people may be seeking. When that people may be coming. When they may be drawing near. And when those servants, they may say unto that people, they may say, "This now is my master." And when they may point him out who he is, the beloved of the church of God. Rebekah takes a veil, we read, and she covers herself. You do that too, girls, when you get married? Or do you do the opposite? And when you date one another, do you cover yourself? Be careful, young people. Oh, be careful. Because Satan, he would have you to fall. We hope that you will leave those things that belong to marriage, that you will leave them for marriage. You will never be disappointed your whole life long. The law of the Lord, that is a good law. Do you believe that? Is it only that you have to obey? Or may you see that that law, that is a good law. Do you love that law? That is a law that is designed by the Lord himself for the happiness of his creatures. Oh, happy then is that man, that boy, that girl, that may walk according to the precepts of the law of the Lord. Then they are sins that you will not have to repent of in your life. There are also things, fathers and mothers, there are things that take place in our families. Sometimes we only find out later, when it is too late. Fathers and mothers, dress your children. Fathers and mothers, speak unto your children. Fathers and mothers, watch your children. Know always where your children are, because we have to be a protector for our children, not only to keep them from others, but we have to be a protector for our children to keep them from themselves, from what is living in their own hearts. They are our children. Who can bring forth a clean thing out of an unclean? Rebecca took a veil and covered herself. And we read, then she lighted off of her camel. That was a sign of humility. That was a sign of great respect. So she does not remain on her lofty perch, but she comes down. Do you think that Isaac felt that? Do you think that a man feels that? Young ladies, the woman's liberation movement that has done nothing to attract the heart of a man unto a woman. No, that place that the Lord has given unto that woman, that is attracting the heart of him who is to be the head of that household. Oh, what a blessed way that the Lord has created man, and how Satan has turned everything so upside down. Rebecca lighted off her camel. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done, that all the servants will have to do, because they are servants. They do not come in their own name, but they come in another's name. And they are given a task, and they will have to give an account of his stewardship. Is that not a blessed thing, that now the servant of Isaac may say, oh, now he may tell of that journey. And he may tell how it went on his journey. He may speak of the providences of the Lord. How that the Lord, he has guided everything. How that he has prayed. And how that in the providence of the Lord, just in that moment, and so on, we have heard it. Oh, then he may speak about the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord in a powerful way. In the heart of Rebecca, how that she was made willing in the day of that power of the Lord. Oh, then he may tell and he may show how that Rebecca, she has left everything behind. She has left her father. She has left her mother. She has left her brother. She has left everything that she did formerly love, all for the sake of Isaac. Then he may tell how that she was obedient to the calling that did come unto her. Oh, how endearing unto the heart of Isaac, when he may hear of her willingness. And when he may see that she may come, oh, then it is endearing his heart unto the Lord, as he who has guided everything and brought to pass all his own promise. And how endearing of the heart of Isaac also to Rebekah, as just the one that the Lord Himself is providing for him under His own promise and by His own work. Oh, then his heart, because especially of that work of the Lord, then his heart that is bound unto Rebekah. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. How touching. Isaac loved his mother. You love your mother, young people. How do we know that? Does she know that? How does she know that? That you love her. Oh, Isaac. 3 years he mourned for his mother. Now we read that he was comforted after his mother's death. You love your mother, boys and girls. You love your father. I think so. You will not do then, will you, what is grieving to your mother, will you? What is grieving to your father, will you? Because there is going to come a time you will not have your mother anymore. And you will not have your father anymore. Isaac did not have his mother. And then when we do not have our mother, then our thoughts that she will go back again to all the things that we have done against her. You must say you're sorry, mother. You must say you are sorry to father before that they die. And you must not grieve your father or your mother. Young people, do you look for a husband? Do you look for a wife? You watch, will you? You watch how they treat their mother. You watch how they treat their father. You watch how that they speak to them, because they are soon going to be speaking to you. They are soon going to be treating you just the way that they have treated their father and their mother. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. And took Rebekah, and she became his wife. No, he does not reject her. He does not turn her away. But the gifts that he has given to her, they were true. The calling that he has sent to her to come unto him, that was a true calling. And thus when she comes unto him, then despite perhaps some of those fears that have lived in her heart, when she was upon that way, despite all of those fears, he receives her. And eventually, she becomes his wife, perhaps after a little time. Do you know what the Lord says in his word? The Apostle Paul, he says that the gifts and the calling of God, they are without repentance. They are without repentance. And when that soul, he is hearing that calling in the bottom of his heart, and he is drawing near as the object of that free and sovereign grace. Oh, when that soul is receiving something of those gifts from that greater Isaac, then it cannot be that that greater Isaac is going to turn that people away, despite all the fears that are sometimes welling up in their doubtful hearts. That is such an important time That is such an important moment that we read here. And she became his wife. When a man and a wife, they are entering into covenant. When a man and a wife, they are making their vows long time often, is it not, young people? They are coming to me already a year beforehand. They are saying that we are engaged, we want to be married. And then there is preparation for an entire year. Then there is an expectation, and they are looking forward for a long time unto that day, unto that most important day, one of the greatest changes that will take place in their life is that day of their marriage, because they are going to enter into a new relation. That is a relation with another person. Thus, everything is changing in that day. In the first place, legally, there is a legal change. Because in that day when those marriage vows are spoken, then they are coming under the laws of the land, under the laws of the country that are governing this marriage. Today, those laws, they are greatly diminished. That is evil. That is sad. That it is permissible for a man for no reason at all that he will break this covenant with his wife. But it was not intended to be so. But it was intended to be a covenant which is unbreakable. And thus, when we may bring this over into that spiritual life, then you must understand then that we are not speaking about that marriage as it has degraded in our days, but then we must speak of that marriage as it has been instituted by the Lord Himself in all of its purity. Thus, an unbreakable covenant. And what is that giving? That is giving assurance. That is giving rest. That is giving peace. Because how is that, girls? When it is in that time of dating, then you are coming to know one another, but at any time, then it is possible that you or he, then they say, well, I don't think this is going to work. You leave that open for one another. You have to do that. Because that's what that time is for. Then it must be left open to two sides. But, and then in that time, there can be fears. There can be fears that you say when he comes really to know who I am, he is going to reject me. Now what happens? In that day that you are married, then that bond that is made, then that covenant that is sealed. Thus, there are legal implications. You are bound together in a legal way. Then the law has something to say about that union. And then it is not only in a legal way, but it is also in a practical way. Everything is changing, because then you come to live together, then you come to live with one another, for one another, then there is a daily and a blessed communion with one another. You know what we read here? We read, and he loved her. They're not beautiful. And he loved her. What a blessed thing. When that is in marriage, is that in your marriage? That word we say to the young people, that is a verb. That is an action word. He loved her. That means it is something he did. That love is not only living in his heart, but it is coming out in his actions. What is now that love of Christ for his church that did not just live in his heart? It came out in his actions. And what he did. What did he do? He gave himself. He gave himself for that church. He sacrificed himself out of love to her, even unto death. Oh, does that not bring us now directly to our second thought? That greater spiritual marriage with its blessings, and she became his wife. We read in Revelation 19, blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That is, congregation, the greatest change that is ever going to take place in the life of a person. That is now the day that people, they are going to be received into a heavenly glory. After that wilderness journey that is complete, and they may now be received into that heavenly Canaan. That is the day that marriage that will be completely and finally solemnized. That the church will be received into the bosom of Christ. When they will not be allowed to go out anymore. That is now the day that eternal daily blessed communion with him that shall begin. Never to be interrupted, to have no sin to defile it, and never to be ended. Then a church militant, that will become a church triumphant, then all sin that shall be done away, and it will be realized in that fullest sense of the word, what the Apostle Paul says, when he says, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Oh, how the church, she ought to look forward unto that day. The day that she may be received into that heavenly glory. Oh, how she ought to be looking. How she ought to be waiting for that time. Oh, how ashamed that church ought to be that they lack that blessed heavenly mindedness. Do you know what that is like, young people? That is like a bride, or she will be a bride, and she is not even looking forward to the day that she will be married. You say, what a shame. And yet is it not true in the life of God's church? Then we say, why? Why is that? Say, that is a fact. That is the reality. But why is it? Well, if we will ask the people, then they will say, well, I'm not sure. I am not sure that I will be received into his bosom. I lack that blessed assurance. And therefore they are fearing. Or is it not then this lack of that blessed assurance of faith in the life of God's people that are bringing them into such a low condition. What is that, young people? The assurance of faith. We want to sing first. 421, stanzas 3 and 4. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art. Thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling. Though passing through a vale of tears, thy grace, O God, to him appears with winged hope and power impelling. 3 and 4 of 421.
Thank you.
she became his wife. Indeed, the Holy Scriptures, they speak about the marriage supper of the Lamb that is referring to the death of God's saints and the receiving of them into an eternal glory. But that is not all, because there is also reference to this concerning the life of faith that is lived here below, with all of the blessings that that now contains. When we began to speak about Isaac and Rebekah, then we have said that there are steps, that there are steps in that life of faith. When is it now that a soul is actually and truly united unto the Lord Jesus Christ? When do you think that happens? Well, that happens actually in regeneration. That is, from the side of God, in that new birth. But that soul is not conscious of this union. No, the Lord knows. But that soul has much to learn. At that time, they do not really even have an experimental consciousness of the distinctions of the persons of the Holy Trinity. But that becomes different, we have heard, in the revelation of Christ. When the soul that is seeing, that is experiencing the necessity of that second person, the preciousness, the suitability of that second person. And then she says, I will go. And that journey that is beginning, all that way, the truth and the life, he is the one that I stand in need of. That blessed mediator, and that he is the one that I need. But marriage, that is an altogether different matter. Experience can understand that. Sometimes we refer to them as the revelation of Christ over against the application of Christ. And this is affecting the assurance that a soul receives of his acceptance in Christ. Because that is an assurance that belongs to that covenant of marriage. That is the way that marriage was created by God, as it ought to be. That is one of the most blessed aspects of marriage. That there is rest in it. There is peace in it. There is trust in it. So that there will never be a forsaking the one of the other. There is a blessed assurance that is experienced in that marriage. And that is now why Satan tries to destroy marriage. Because when men and women do not know of that assurance anymore, then it is not possible for us to show in the church what is that blessed assurance that Christ is giving unto his church. Then we have lost the natural part whereby the Lord was showing unto us the blessedness of that spiritual marriage. There has been much discussion and also much difference of opinion about assurance in the history of the church. We cannot say that all in a few moments. We want to say something as a beginning. Where shall we begin? Well, let us begin by defining it. Let us begin by saying What is it exactly that we are speaking about? Next time, the Lord willing, then we hope then we can speak a little bit more about the fact that it actually exists and how that assurance is received and the blessedness of that assurance. So, and he became his wife. What was it, young people? What was it? That once Rebekah was married unto Isaac, what was Rebekah sure of? Talk about assurance. What was she now sure of? Say, well, she was sure now that she belonged to him. That is right. He was sure now that he would never forsake her. Blessed thing. That was after that they were married. Do you think that there was ever a time before that they were married that she believed that she would be married to him? You say, I think so. I think so. Do you think that she was ever sure? That she was ever very, very sure that marriage that was actually, truly going to be? Well, we have spoken about it. Naturally, there would have been many doubts. There would have been many fears, apprehensions, but we have spoken about those bracelets, what those bracelets were for. And when she has heard Eliezer speak about him again, and she has heard of the mission that Eliezer has received from him, the calling that has gone out unto her, what she has received from him, all these things, you say, then there were times, then there were moments that she was very sure. Of what? What was she then very sure of? Well, you say then she was very sure that she was married? No. But she was very sure that he would do as he promised. That he would be as he said he would be. That is now what she was before that marriage, when that calling had come to her. Then there were times that she may truly, truly believe that he would do it. That is now the assurance that belongs to every act of faith. When the soul is given directly to believe that promise of God, when it views itself as the object of the promise of the Lord, when it sees its lost condition, and the Lord says that he has come to seek and to save that which is lost, then it is faith given on that promise, that the soul may by times be so certain of, that they may feel like they have already even received it. Sometimes that assurance that is very strong. What did David say? He said, the Lord who delivered me from the lion and the Lord who delivered me from the bear, he will deliver me from this Philistine. Oh, the strength of that assurance that was in the heart of David that the Lord would do for him, as he said, as he is for his people, to take care of his people, because that was the enemy of the Lord and the enemy of the people of the Lord. That is now the faith that belongs to every, that is now the assurance that belongs to every act of faith. Is that always the same strength? No. Then we find the father of the lunatic. What did he say? He said, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Thus, he felt the weakness. And yet, it is all an assurance that God will do as he promises. That God will do as he declares himself to be in that word of God. And now that is the assurance that is belonging to every act of faith. It belongs to the essence of faith. It belongs to the very definition of faith. Because faith is sure. Faith is over against doubt as fire and water. Faith has to include assurance, a certain kind of assurance. But to believe that God will do as he has promised, or to believe that I am now married unto him, they are not the same thing. They are simply two different propositions to be believed. It is speaking about two different things, but they are often mixed up. And there have been attempts by our fathers in the history of the church for many, many years to give each of them a name so we know what we're speaking about when we speak about the one that belongs to that essence of faith that is in every act of faith. Let us call that something that everyone can know what we mean when we speak about it. And when we speak about the other, that marriage and the certainty that is included in that marriage, we will call that something else. So that has been tried. So you will read if you read. Do you read, young people? Fathers, mothers, do you read? And when you read, you're going to read all these kinds of terms. They will be distinguished as faith versus the assured faith. Some will call the one the assurance of faith and the other the full assurance of faith. Some will call the one objective assurance, the other subjective assurance. Some will call the one the assurance of faith, and the other the assurance of hope, or the assurance of grace and salvation. Sometimes we call the one the assurance that is in faith, and the other we call the assurance of faith. We refer to that as justification or the forgiveness of sins. All of these are attempts to do the same thing, to make a definition that we can all try to understand what is being spoken about. But we see that our fathers have tried to distinguish them, that they have recognized that these are two different things. You say, young people, that sounds very confusing. It can be. But it is very important. Why is it very important? Well, our young people, we say, if you say, well, we are engaged. And now somebody will say, try to convince you, say, no, you are married. We're married. No, we're not married. We are only engaged. Is that important? Of course that is important. Because we cannot take to ourselves in the state, in the condition that we are in, the things that belong to marriage, oh, we cannot confuse these things. It is extremely important that we keep these things separate, distinct from one another. Otherwise, we make a dangerous assumption. We have no legal standing in engagement. We cannot come together, cannot live together. Do not do that, right, young people? When you are engaged, so it is. And then you are looking forward to something else. You say, we're not there yet. We have to come there yet. We want to come there yet. Because there is something so very special about where we desire to come. So it is. But how many now of God's people are not resting short? Resting short of that full assurance of faith. Resting short of that spiritual marriage. They are not strangers of a revelation of Christ, but they miss the application of Him. That is now the greatest part of the true church of God in the day in which we are living. Or they are ignorant of a legal standing before God. They are lacking the assurance that belongs to marriage. That is not healthy. It is not healthy for their soul, because that means that their soul is still subject to so many doubts and so many, many fears. They miss the stability. They miss the rest of that people of God. Nor is it to the glory of the Lord, because you know what belongs to that marriage? Do you know, children, when Rebekah, she married Isaac, then she also received a father-in-law, did she not? And when that people, they are united unto Christ by that spiritual marriage, oh, then they come also to know that they have a father. And thus, when this is missing, then there is a certain grief, we would say, a grief of God Himself, because of a child who does not dare to call Him his father. But now there's also the opposite, because there are people, they say, if you do not have and you do not know those highest steps of grace, if you do not know that spiritual marriage, well, then you are on the outside. Then you miss everything. That is not true either. That is just as if to say, if you are not an adult, then you are not a person. But children are people too. Oh no, we first have to become a child. That is now the most important. Most important is that we become a child. That is why we speak about it so much. Because the beginning is the most essential part. The Lord Jesus, He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Is there a beginning in our life? But what are those further steps for? They are now for the comfort. Comfort of that soul as he is traveling through the wilderness here below. Next week, if the Lord may give it, we hope to speak a little more on this matter. May the Lord give a saving interest to each and every one of us to know that for ourselves. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, a few words. Oh, that thou may give to us that new birth, that we may receive those desires. And then we shall say in thy own time, I will go, make thy dear son precious, and wilt thou lead thy people further upon that way, oh, that they may not be satisfied with the gifts from that greater Isaac, but that they may have a desire also to know that spiritual marriage. Look upon us, remember us in thy mercy. Go with us from this place. Help each and every one of us in the labors of our hands in the coming week. Watch over those that do build, and wilt thou keep each and every one from a sudden and an unprepared death. Be with those that must stand at an open grave. Forgive all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 365, 1 through 4. From the depths my prayer ascendeth unto God on high. Hear, O Lord, my supplication and my cry. 1 through 4 of 365. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.